Blog Talk Radio.
Once again to the House of Christ Ministries present Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. Today is Sunday, June 26, 2011. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you live from Elmont, New York. We will not be taking any calls tonight, but if you have a question, you can email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. I would like to remind you that we are on the air every Sunday and Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also visit our social network at www.myhocm.ning.com and our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., at www.riversofrevival.com. I would like to take this opportunity tonight to congratulate all the new ministers that were charged yesterday at the charging ceremony at the Holiday Inn in New York, House of David Ministries, the School of Ministry, at their ceremony yesterday. And I would like to congratulate all those who graduated yesterday and were finally rose to the task and to assume the role of the servant of God, a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tonight, we will be continuing our spiritual journey and deliverance. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come into your presence asking your forgiveness of sins of commission and sins of omission. We thank you for the opportunity to host this show and to proclaim your Son, Jesus Christ, throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission. Father, there is no condemnation to those that walk according to the Spirit, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life sets us free from the law of sin and death. Grant us the grace to live the life of the Spirit. Heavenly Father, you condemn sin in the flesh of its power over us. Now the righteous and just requirement of the law is fully met in us who live and move in the ways of the Spirit. Our lives governed and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that your presence will bless our lives and bless those who are listening to this show tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for all those who have listened to our previous shows. I pray, O Lord, for the House of Christ Ministries as we continue sowing seeds for the kingdom of God and proclaim your Son, Jesus Christ, throughout the world. On the authority of your word, I declare that we are more than conquerors and are gaining a surpassing victory through Jesus Christ, who loves us. We refuse to let ourselves be overcome with evil, but we will overcome and master evil with good. We have on the full armor of light, clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and make no provision for indulging in the flesh. Father, I pray that we will always be doers of God's word. I pray for wisdom and understanding. Tonight I take a stand against the devil and resist him in Jesus' name. We will take a short break and come right back. Thank you. Welcome once again to the House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World and Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you live from Elmont, New York. I'd like to remind you once again that we will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Our scripture reading tonight will be taken from Acts chapter 10, the King James Version. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spoke unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending upon him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. But while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men, which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feared God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Jaffa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and he had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God had shewed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent ye have sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Jaffa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, whom, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God? Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and shewed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, to give him all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. We will take a short break and come right back. Welcome once again to the House of Christ Ministries present Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. We strongly believe in the Great Commission according to Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We will continue our lesson on deliverance. And tonight we'll pick up where we left off last Wednesday. Why is deliverance necessary? Deliverance is necessary because many people, both Christians and non-Christians, are in bondage to or oppressed by the devil and his demonic host. When demonic spirits hold someone captive, there is no natural way or remedy that can be used to set them free, rather only a spiritual one, which lies in Jesus Christ. Most of the issues and problems, the devastation, sickness, and brokenness that humanity faces, have their origins and are rooted in the demonic, thus qualifying the fact that deliverance is necessary. Don't be fooled or believe for 1 minute that these issues that humanity faces can be resolved by any other way than with deliverance. How do people get demonically possessed, oppressed, or influenced? As I have stated in various other lessons, the enemy can have no access to you unless you give them a place or an open door. Ephesians 4 verse 20 says, neither give place to the devil. We give place to the devil when we act in disobedience towards God, thus we sin. This is the same reason why so many people are influenced, oppressed, and possessed by devils. Sin is a cause of that. Sin has with it immediate consequences that are not always visible to the naked eye or understood by the carnal mind. Let's look at this. Sin is like a doorman, and once we let him in to work, then he constantly opens the door to other spirits with the purpose to influence, oppress, possess, and then ultimately destroy us. From this we can see that the enemy has great access to the world, but they should not have the same level of access to the Christian. Yet they do. For as long as we act and respond to things carnally, and in a manner that is not consistent with God's word, then we will constantly have a door open, thus giving the enemy access. What is the difference between demonic possession, oppression, and influence? I have been asked more than once to explain the difference between possession, oppression, and influence, so that we can better understand how the enemy attacks and gain ground in the lives of people. I will examine the difference between these three things by defining what each of them means. Demonic possession. The Greek word for possessed, when referring to demonic possession, is daimonizungi, meaning to be exercised by a demon or devil. It is to have or be vexed with devils. Another Greek word for possess is echo, meaning to hold, accompany, following, have, hold, or keep. The Webster's New World Dictionary and Thesaurus defines possess as to have as belonging to one or to own. It is to gain control over. One of the definitions of the word possession is territory, ruled by an outside entity. Such is the case with demonic possession. With possession, demon gains so much influence in the area of the mind, psyche, or soul, that they subvert the person's natural thoughts and dominate. This can happen when a person opens up to spirits such as fear, anxiety, worry, as well as when they yield themselves to the occult, such as the girl with the spirit of divination in Acts 16, verse 16. Too much worry, fear, stress, and or anxiety can cause what we call a nervous or mental breakdown, thus giving a place to the enemy due to mental fatigue. Those who are possessed are often thought to be insane due to the erratic and unusual behavior that these wicked and perverse demonic entities try to exhibit through them. Again, when a devil possesses, they take ownership. This can be local ownership, such as with certain parts of the body, through control of that area of the mind, or complete possession of the mind, in which they subvert the personality of the person that they are possessing. Matthew 9, verses 32 and 33 tells us of a demonic spirit that possessed the speech center of a person or a local area, which reads, "And they went out, and behold, they brought to them a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel." This spirit possessed the speech center of this man. Luke 8, verses 26 through 35 speaks of a man who was fully possessed, for they not only had his speech center, for they spoke through him, but they totally controlled his behavior, causing him to not be in his right mind. And it reads, "And as they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven out of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountains. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then when the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city, in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I want to point out something that I believe is crucial to the case in Luke 8, verses 26 to 35, and that is verse 27 that said that he had devils a long time. When devils are in a person uncontested, then over a period of time, they try to further break down of the barriers in that person, affording opportunities for other spirits to come in with the intent of full possession. Again, this is not something that happens immediately. Rather, it is the enemy's strategy that he intends to accomplish in a person over time with the goal of full possession. We will take a short break and come right back. Once again, to the House of Christ Ministries, present proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission. Demonic oppression. Acts 10, verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. From the text of Scripture, we learn that the enemy oppresses. This does not denote ownership as possession. Rather, it states an ability to press or push someone down. The Webster's New World Dictionary and Thesaurus defines to oppress as to weigh heavily on the mind of worry. This tells us that oppression is a mental burden. It also means to keep down by cruel or unjust use of authority. The American Dictionary of the English language, defines it as to overwhelm or crush. The enemy uses oppression in various areas of a person's life with the intent to to gain an ear of possession. So we see that oppression goal is possession by means burdening someone to wear them down. The goal of oppression is to weigh a person so heavily down that they stop trying to look for hope and accept their condition, whatever it may be. Now, the enemy can use sickness, infirmity, financial insufficiency, and other burdens to oppress or push a person down, such as with the woman with the issue of blood and the woman with the spirit of infirmity. We see in Acts 10, verse 38, that Jesus healed those who were oppressed, denoting that oppression can manifest through sickness. In Luke 13, verses 10 through 12, we see that a spirit of infirmity had oppressed a woman to the point that it manifested in her being bowed over. It reads, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and caused in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." She was a captive that was being oppressed by a spirit of infirmity until the deliverer arrived on the scene. The enemy can oppress an individual person, a family, a city, a nation, or ethnicity. When I consider God's servant Job, I also realize that he was oppressed of the devil. As with Job, whenever God blesses you, gives you a promise or direction, then the enemy tries to oppress you, to steal your faith, to keep it, or receive it. Always remember that praise is a great antidote for oppression. Many who are oppressed feel so pushed and weighed down that they don't believe that there is any way out on their own. Some turn to suicide or become depressed, become low in spirit or saddened from the oppression due to the unbearable weight that they are under from these spirits that might be influencing natural things to put weights on these people. Those who are oppressed need the deliverer, Jesus Christ, who came, as the scripture says, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Demonic influence. It is important that we understand that demonic spirits first try to gain a place in a person through influence. They try to influence us to do things that are outside of the will of God, thus giving them a place. They do this by speaking to a person's mind, his psyche or soul, just like the Holy Spirit tries to influence us to submit ourselves to the ways and things of God. So demons are constantly trying to influence people by offering them temptations, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, as well as addressing a person's fears, sickness, death, infirmity, lack, violence against them, wants, desires, and basic needs. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17 tells us of the three areas of temptation. It reads, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Not only do demons try to speak to a person's mind to influence them on their own, but they also use people to do their work of influence as well, such as the case when Peter told Jesus that he was not going to go to the cross and die. Mark 8, verses 31 through 33 says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Like Jesus, we the Christians must be able to identify who is trying to influence us and not just think that it is the human entity who is doing the speaking. The greatest example of the enemy trying to influence the mind of a person was in the temptation of Jesus Christ in the wilderness. I do not believe that the devil physically appeared to Jesus. Rather, I believe that he spoke to the mind of Jesus, trying to influence him to sin. Luke 4, verses 1 through 13 gives this account. "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did not eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up high into an high mountain, shewed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. There ended the word. Demons influence people to sin. They can use the sin that a person yields to then oppress them, and they use constant oppression to mentally fatigue a person, causing them to be open to full possession. We will take a short break and come right back. Once again, the Dose of Christ Ministries present, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission. Tonight, we would like to extend an invitation to you. For those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, during his time on earth, Jesus Christ was always inviting people to become his followers. He said to those by the Sea of Galilee, "Follow me." He invited his listeners to come to him, to come by faith, to come for healing. He invited his listeners to come to him. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Perhaps tonight, you feel that Jesus Christ is speaking to you. Imagine if he was right there where you are tonight, extending this invitation. What would you do? He's really inviting you to become his child or to recommit your life to him. I encourage you to submit to him tonight. He is calling you as an individual, calling you as a couple, calling you as a family. He died for you and rose again. His blood washes away our sins, and he can give you a new life if you will submit. Right where you are, please pray this prayer with me. Father, it is written in your word that if I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. Therefore, Father, I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I make him Lord of my life right now. I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I renounce my past life with Satan and close the door to any of his devices. I thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. Now all things become new, in Jesus' name, amen. If you have just received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and would like more information to help you grow spiritually, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York. God bless you for tuning in to our show tonight. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, reminding you to tune in every Wednesday and Sundays at 9 p.m. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. God bless you, and have a good night.